Today's Wednesday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast is brought to you by No Halftime. No Halftime is an easy-to-use iTunes app that allows you to compete in player versus player daily fantasy sports contests. Use the promo code BBALL, that's B-B-A-L-L, for a free $25 at sign up. That's a free $25 just for typing in B-B-A-L-L at No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. And with that, let's get into it. Tyler Watts, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark, how's it going?
You excited for the new year?
I am. You got any big plans?
In terms of New Year's Eve or just for the entire year?
Both.
New Year's Eve is a difficult holiday to celebrate when you have young children. The whole like staying up late and going to parties and that sort of thing doesn't really jive. So, but Netflix, bless their hearts, has figured out a way for us to trick our children into thinking that yours has come early. Like there's things that you can play on Netflix that make it seem like New Year's Eve has come and gone. So you can play that at like 8 o'clock and send them to bed and nobody's the wiser. So that might be in store. And then like a quiet night of watching television.
So wait, Netflix just like makes up fake New Year's to show to kids so they go to bed?
Well, it's a recording of New Year's. I suppose that you could show it at the appropriate time, but you can also show it 4 or 5 hours before midnight.
Oh, man, that sounds like the greatest thing ever. Someone at Netflix deserves a gigantic high five for that.
So I might be able to stay up for New Year's Eve if I play it a little bit early, too.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. What about you? Any big New Year's Eve plans?
No, not really. I'm not much of a New Year's Eve partier myself.
Well, you can watch the Netflix special and then
is someone going to sing on the Netflix special like they do on regular cable? Or
I don't know if it's a picture of like the ball dropping from like a different year or something. I'm not sure.
2001.
I'm not sure, but I do know that it's available and I do think they're, I'm crossing my fingers that it's once it gets dark, we can play it, send our kids to bed, and have a party from there, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, man. That sounds like a great idea. You're going to have to let us know how that turns out.
I've been catching up on old episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm lately, so it might be a good time to run through a half a season of those or something.
Oh, that does sound perfect. You got it all planned out already.
Yeah. All right. Should we get into some basketball talk?
All right, let's do it. That's what you could be watching, right? You could be watching some basketball.
Yeah, instead. I'm talking about after the games.
All right.
Basketball is a given. But then, like, I'm still not like a 60-year-old adult. Like, I have to figure out something to do to stay up to midnight at least.
Are you mad that I get to celebrate 2 years earlier than you?
Two hours?
Yeah, I said years. I'm not the same. Yeah, are you mad about that?
I'm just fine with that.
I'm going to send you all kinds of messages on Twitter about how party New Year's here.
You're in a new... Well, I kind of appreciated the Eastern time zone like in year 2000 because it gave us a nice heads up of what's going to come with Y2K.
So we knew...
Yeah, we knew it wasn't going to be a big deal because it wasn't a big time on the Eastern seaboard. So, all right, Tyler, we got to start off with some disappointing news here. And really, I guess there's good and bad news here. The good news is Eric Bledsoe had surgery on his knee, supposedly successful, actually for his long-term health, quite successful. They were able to go in and just repair the torn meniscus rather than remove some of it. I got into this a little bit with Daniel on our Monday show. Yeah, I think it was our Monday show. We talked about the difference between repairing and removing a meniscus. When a meniscus is removed, it allows a player to come back pretty quickly, but it sort of is not great for their long-term future. You know, Brandon Roy, for example, had his meniscus removed rather than repaired because sometimes you just simply can't repair it. So good news is Eric Bledsoe was able to go in. They were able to repair the meniscus. So he should, long term, really have no side effects from this. Unfortunately, in the short term, that means his road to recovery is much, much longer. Where he was originally thought going to be out 6 weeks with the removal of the meniscus, he is now out for the season with the repair of the meniscus. So a lot of mixed emotions. As somebody who owns Bledsoe and in fact just traded for Bledsoe, I'm sort of disappointed. But again, you know, good for his long-term health here.
I think that, I mean, this was probably, like you're saying, it was probably the best thing for him to do. I mean, because you don't want a situation where he's going to come back in 6 weeks and, yeah, okay, he's going to be fine for this year, but down the road, that's going to, I mean, derail his very promising career ahead of him. So, I mean, he should be ready for training camp. That's what I heard. So, I mean, you basically just, you know, you're out of him this year. And if you own him in the keeper league, he ought to be back to relative health come training camp next year.
Yeah. I don't think it's even really a discussion. I think you have to do what's best for the player. But, you know, any non-keeper leagues or anything like that, he can be dropped. He's been ruled out for the season. Now let's talk about what's going to happen in Phoenix as a result. They let a couple of their coaches go. We know that. It seems like they're going to keep Jeff Hornacek around for at least a little while. Who do you think – like, how do you think this shakes out in terms of who benefits fantasy-wise in Phoenix?
That is a good question. I think that they're going to kind of play the matchups a little bit at that kind of, you know, shooting guard and small forward spot. I think that they're going to kind of rotate in, you know, quite a few guys. PJ Tucker is there. He's a guy, if you need steals, he's always been a pretty good steals contributor, steals and rebounds for a small forward. You got Devin Booker, who is a great shooter, but maybe not a lot else. And you got TJ Warren, who for a small forward or shooting guard makes a crazy high percentage of his shots, but I don't know that he does much else.
Yeah, so in the game, the most recent game we saw against Cleveland, Tucker and Brandon Knight both played 38 minutes. And I don't think that's an anomaly. I think you'll continue to see those guys play a heavy dose of minutes. I think Knight at the end of the day may be the guy who benefits the most from this. He'll get to have the ball in his hands a lot more. He'll have a lot more of the scoring load. If they don't make a trade, I think he could really have a nice finish to the season. And like you said, I think they're going to get Tucker some minutes. John Lohr continues to play well, but I think with Markieff Morris coming back from suspension, if they decide to insert him into the lineup, either as a starter or a bench player, I think that comes at Lohr's detriment. And, you know, even in that Cleveland game, he only played 25 minutes. And he was great. He had 14.6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 three-pointers, a steal, and a block. But if that, you know, those minutes ratchet down to 20 to 22 minutes with Markieff getting some time, I think that could be really detrimental to Lohr's fantasy value. Booker, you know, he started. I think that's a pretty good indication. If Hornacek's going to stick around and coach, and Booker was the starter, he played 29 minutes. I think that's the guy who probably gets starter level minutes on the wing. He's not going to get Brandon Knight, PJ Tucker level minutes, like the 36 to 38 minutes per game, but I would expect him to be in the 27 to 29 minutes a game range. And he actually had some nice contributions. You know, I would generally agree with you, and probably still a safe assumption for the future that points and three pointers are basically where his value is going to come from. But he threw in 3 rebounds and 3 assists in this game. So if I think, given that he's going to play or at least be given the best shot, it looks at this point, he's going to be given the best shot to get the starters level minutes there. And he showed a little flash of being able to rebound and assist. I think he's the guy that you pick up and just see what happens. You know, he's got the more upside. I don't think you want any part of Sonny Weems or Ronnie Price. Archie Goodwin didn't even play in the game, which sort of surprised me. I thought, you know, he's sort of interesting if he was going to get the starter level minutes, but that he doesn't even seem like he's going to get bench rotation minutes. So I think you're going with Booker. TJ Warren will probably get that same level of minutes, 27 to 30 minutes per game. And he can certainly do some exciting things. So I would guess he's already owned in your league. If not, he's probably my number one pickup. And then I think Booker is the guy that benefits the most from Bledsoe being out.
I tend to agree with that. I think that Devin Booker, like, your best case scenario for Devin Booker in a few years is that he turns into like a Klay Thompson type, where he's kind of a 3-point sharpshooter with, you know, he might be able to give you a steal. So, I mean, if you're hoping for that in a few years, I mean, I don't think you're going to get anywhere near to that today, but I mean, I think that's the type of player that he's trying to become.
Yeah. Yep. All right. You want to do a little speculation here?
All right, let's do it.
All right. So here's the story. Here's what happened in Atlanta. In fact, you had a pretty good rundown of it. You were sharing with me before the show. Do you want to give the introduction here of what happened with Dennis Schroeder on Tuesday night?
All right. So I was reading on Twitter from Chris Villamore from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and he tweeted out that we might see Shelvin Mack tonight, and he said he didn't think Schroeder would play because he wasn't wearing his normal shoes. And then he said Schroeder's shoes were untied and Mack was going to check into the game. And then he basically said that he didn't think that Schroeder was hurt and that Coach Mike Budenholzer told him that everyone was available. So I'm not sure why, but they decided to play Shelvin Mack over Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah, so as of yet, we have no word on what happened. I guess it could go a number of directions. It could have been a suspension, like an unofficial suspension. It could have been due to some run-in with the coach where they just say, hey, you're not playing, which is basically an unofficial suspension, I guess. There could be a trade in the works, which would certainly be exciting. We don't know at this point what's going on. The one thing we do know is over the past few weeks, Schroeder has really, even in limited minutes, past 7 games, he's only played 20 minutes per game. He's averaging 12.5 points, 4.5 assists, 1.5 steals, 1.1 three-pointers, shooting 48% from the field and 82% from the free throw line. So he's actually providing top 100 value in just 20 minutes per game. So certainly we have no word that he did get traded and you know, a suspension is just as likely, which would be a hit to his value. But I would say to keep a close eye on Schroeder and in the news there, if there's even an inkling that he could get moved into a situation where he would be the starter, that's the sort of pickup that would win your league. And I would say, you know, if you want to err on the side of caution, if you have some trigger happy owners in your league, and you have a guy on the end of your bench that you could drop, might not be a bad solution to pick him up and just hold on to him for a couple of weeks here. And if he doesn't get traded and he's not producing anymore, you know, you can drop him at that point. But really, like, as long as he continues to put up 12.5 points, 4.5 assists, and a steal and a half and a 3-pointer, you're going to be pretty happy you picked him up anyway. So I would look to add him anywhere you need a point guard and keep your fingers crossed that this is good news. He's being held out because he's getting traded somewhere like the Sixers or somewhere that really needs a point guard, and not he had some sort of falling out or they're wanting to rest him or something like that.
Well, I mean, they played on Monday night as well, and he only played 12 minutes on Monday night too, which seemed kind of strange. So could be a lot of things. I don't know. Keep tuned to the news. Like you said, I mean, this guy, he's a potential guy who could win your league if he actually is going to get 30 minutes a game. So
yeah. And probably the most likely scenario is that nothing happens. He continues to play 20 minutes a game and we may never know what happened. All I'm saying is there's what, like a 10 or 5% chance he gets traded. But that 5 to 10% chance that he gets traded and you're a one point guard away from winning your league, like, that's the guy that you want. Particularly, you know, like if you had Eric Bledsoe and you just need to pick somebody up because you have to drop him, you could do a lot worse than Schroeder. And you might benefit from just holding him until the trade deadline. Like, once the trade get in line gets here and goes, then you'll know that his ceiling, this fantasy ceiling, is limited. But until then, there's always a chance he gets moved. he's sort of redundant there with Teague, or Teague gets moved and then Schroeder is the starting point guard. So I wouldn't be shocked. Nobody's going to be shocked if we wake up and hear Schroeder is moved at some point. And I think, you know, if he gets 36 minutes per game, like his per 36 minute values this season, he's averaging on a per 36 minute basis, he's averaging 18 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, almost 2 steals, and a 3-pointer and a half, shooting 41% and 80%. That's a heck of a player. That's Reggie Jackson basically with better steals numbers.
That's just what I was gonna say. It's basically a Reggie Jackson situation from last year where,
yeah,
if he gets moved, you know, if he gets that starting gig, whether it's in Atlanta or somewhere else, it's a guy you're gonna want.
Yep. And the problem is, and this is why we're recommending maybe picking him up early if you can manage to hold him, it's so hard to pick him up once the trade news comes out. At least I feel like in the leagues that I play in, it's like they're gone, you know.
Yeah, unless you got some sort of fab system, like,
yeah,
boom, he gets picked up as soon as the news hits.
Then you're going to have to hope that you have fab money left.
Some good post-game quotes from the Hawks. He's transcribing them now. He's going to post them shortly. So you're not going to have to wait long.
Who's this?
The Chris Villamore, the guy who covers the Hawks for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
He didn't actually give a note. He just said he's going to have notes.
He's transcribing them now. He's going to post them shortly. So maybe by the end we'll have a little news.
You keep an eye on that. We'll keep talking here. Damian Lillard, we have an update on his injury. He took part in extended portions of Tuesday's practice, and he told the media afterwards that his foot was pain-free. That all sounds very good. He didn't commit to playing. He said he wants to make sure he's 100% before he gets back on the court. But an injury that I certainly thought could take a few more weeks for him to come back from, it looks like he may be coming back sooner rather than later. So, you know, adjust your expectations accordingly. If Damian Lillard comes back, CJ McCollum's no longer the top scoring threat there. You can get Lillard off your injured reserve. You know, I guess for me, I'm still skeptical. Like Lillard's a tough guy, so I'm not surprised he's saying he's pain-free. But plantar fasciitis is not something that just disappears. And unless the Blazers figure out a way to stay in the playoff hunt, I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up sitting out a significant portion of the end of the season. I don't think that will happen for a few months, but you know, you'd sure hate to have that happen during playoff time, fantasy playoff time. So I don't think it's a bad idea to let Lillard come back, let him play really well for 2 or 3 weeks, or at least Damian Lillard level well, which is a first round value, and then try to trade him. Try to get 95 cents on the dollar for him. And, you know, there's still a chance he plays all the way through the rest of the season. Like, he's always been a guy who goes out there every game. But I just – plantar fasciitis makes me nervous. There's no real way to cure it. It's just – it comes with rest. And if the Blazers aren't playing for anything, why have your franchise guy out there playing with pain and when he could be recovering and getting ready for the next season? And the only consequence of doing that is that you get a better draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head that this was something that, because he only sat out, it was a week?
Yeah. I
mean, that, you know, it could easily crop back up. So, yeah, I mean, I'm in the same boat as you. I mean, it's kind of like a Carmelo situation from last year where
exactly
he sat out a little bit, he came back, and then he just one day said, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you have a better chance of getting Lillard for these playoffs than you had of Carmelo for those playoffs. We knew with like 99% surety that Carmelo Anthony was going to be done after the All-Star game. And he was. So Lillard, I would say it's more like, I don't know. I think there's probably a 60 to 70% chance that he plays in the fantasy playoffs. It's just, I don't want any part of that 20 to 30 to 40% chance that he doesn't. So I would rather have, like, I don't know, Kyle Lowry or someone like that. If I could make a trade and get close to or just as good of a player as Damian Lillard, who I feel like is going to be there. Maybe even the Chris Paul owner is a little disappointed, and you can do a trade where you send out Damian Lillard and something for Chris Paul. I don't know. There's a couple of different ways you could go with it for sure. But
all right, here's one for you. Yeah. We just talked about this guy, Brandon Knight. Lillard comes back. He has a couple good games. Would you trade Lillard for Brandon Knight?
It's interesting because I do kind of expect Brandon Knight to have a strong finish to the season. At the same time, that's not the most stable situation either. Not that I think Knight could sit out. I mean, he is sort of injury prone, right? But
does this might sway your thoughts? All right, he's ranked 30th in your eight category rest of season roto rankings, Brandon Knight, and Damian Lillard is ranked. Let me see here. He's pretty close to the top 10. He is ranked 11th.
That's what I'm saying. Oh,
no, 14th. So, I'm sorry, 14th. Damian Lillard ranked 14th.
Yeah, I mean, Damian Lillard is close to, or if not, like end of the first round value. So I don't know. That's an interesting one. I think that's pretty close to what I would be looking for. I mean, they do similar things, right? Like, Knight's going to get you over 20 points a game. He's going to get you a lot of three-pointers. He's going to get you good but not great assists. Probably going to do a little better in the steals department. He's not going to shoot a great percentage, but in a lot of ways, he makes up for what Lillard was giving you, and you have less worry that, you know, he's not dealing with like a significant injury that, you know, only heals with time. I guess I would hope to do a little better than that, but I, you know, if that's what it comes to, that's not a bad place to finish.
I agree with that. I mean, that's kind of what I think too. Is I mean that if that's maybe the low water mark I'm shooting for though. Like if it gets too much further down than that, I think I might just stick with Lillard and hope that like you're saying the 70% bears itself out and he plays.
You know, Kyrie Irving might not be a bad guy to target where he's not playing great yet. But you know that, again, he does a lot of the same things Lillard does, where he's going to score for you. He's going to shoot a lot of three-pointers. He's going to give you good but not great assists. Irving's going to shoot a better percentage if that matters to you. But I don't think the Irving owner has been thrilled with Irving's return to the court. He hasn't really had a great game yet. Last night in Phoenix, I think he had 22 points, but he didn't do a whole lot else. That might not be a bad place to go either.
Well, I think too that you could, especially if Lillard comes back and has like a pretty big game where he drops like 30 points, or you know, and you can just say to him like, "Look, you're going to get the value now." I mean, Irving's only playing 21 and a half minutes so far this year in his four games, so I mean, you can sell him too that you're getting the value now, and you know that he is maybe a better player in the long run too. And you know, if you can spin it right, you can probably make that deal.
Yep. All right. Let's get on to one last guy I want to talk about tonight. That is my main man. How do you say main man plurally?
One of my most
main man.
Yeah.
That's the incorrect way to say it. That's how I want to say it. Jusuf Nurkić, Denver. So he actually dressed on Tuesday night. He was not available to play, but he was wearing a jersey, which is sort of not like a totally logical decision to make. But I think it's good news in the fact that he's going to return to the court fairly quickly. He's been involved in full contact practices for about 10 days. So I think he's getting his endurance up. He seems to be recovering from the injury. So I think this guy is going to be back fairly soon. Now the question is, well, let me give you the case of why I like Nurkić. And then,
he's your boyfriend. Let's not lie about this. You love him.
Yeah. Let me defend my case here of why I like Nurkić so much. So last season, his per 36 numbers here, and I know he's not going to play 36 minutes. He averaged 14 points, 12 and a half rebounds, 2.5 blocks, and 1.7 steals. So, you know, even if he gets 30 minutes per game, he's going to be right around, I don't know, 12 points, 11, 12 points, 8 or 9 rebounds, close to 2 blocks, and like 1.5 steals. But that steals and blocks combination is really hard to come by. When you compare it, when you combine it with somebody who's getting a double-double, that's like a version of what people expected Nerlens Noel to be. Which was what went on to Nerlens Noel go in like the second or third round this year?
Third round, I think.
Yeah, and he didn't sort of deliver on that value yet. Maybe he will now that Ish Smith is running the show in Philadelphia. But point is, I think Nurkic has, to me, I don't know why you would argue that that Noel has a bigger upside than Nurkic does. No, the one difference is there are only like 3 NBA players on the Philadelphia 76ers. So Noel, like as long as he's productive and good, he's going to get plenty of minutes. With Nurkic having sat out for so much of this year, they've had to find other guys. They've got Jokic playing. They've got Laverne Way playing. I'm not sure he's going to get the 26 to 28 minutes he needs to be effective. What do you think?
I think that in the short term, he's not going to get the big minutes. But I think from everything I've heard, you know, coming out of there, that they want this guy to be their center of the future. He's 21 years old. And I think that they really think highly of the guy. Now, he does have a little bit of trouble with fouling like crazy. I mean, he averaged 3.3 fouls per game in 17 minutes last year. So that could restrict him from getting gigantic minutes too. But I think that they're going to marginalize either Jokic or Lavernier. That I actually kind of think that Lavernier is going to be the one who gets marginalized eventually. That they're going to ramp Nurkic up. He's going to become the starter. They're going to play Jokic off the bench, and Lavernier is just going to get the mop-up minutes as the number three.
Well, and see, they don't play. They've never played Fareed very many minutes, or as many minutes as people sort of hope. He's never really been above the 30 minute per game mark. So there's definitely room at power forward to move Jokic over there. Hopefully they don't play Hixon anymore. And the truth is with Nurkic, he doesn't need more than about 24 to 26 minutes a game to be worth owning. Now the percentages aren't great. So again, there's a lot of comparisons to be made to Nerlens Noel. I don't think he's a perfect fit for every team build. But if you're in the, if you need defensive stats, there's nobody on the waiver wire that has the upside in the defensive stats in like rebounds, steals, and blocks that you would get from Nurkic if he gets on the court. And it really isn't going to cost them that much to get him on the court. They need to take Hickson's 17 minutes a game and give them to Nurkic, and then just take a couple of minutes from players here or there, Daryl Arthur and Jokic and Laverne Way might all go down a few minutes per game. And there he is at 24, 26 minutes a game. So I'm crossing my fingers. I'm speculatively adding him in a few places. It's an interesting discussion. I'm not sure who I would rather add in a vacuum between Schroeder and Nurkic. I think it won't be that hard of a decision for fantasy owners because your team will probably need either a point guard or a big guy. There aren't a lot of teams that have a equal amount of need for both a big guy and a point guard. So I guess I see their upside as similar, and their opportunities to maybe get playing time and maybe not get playing time is similar. So if you have room for both of them, great. If you have room for just one of them, I would say go with your bigger team need. I don't think one of them is so much more likely to become a fantasy star than the other that you have to pick them up regardless of team need. And I don't think either of them, by the way, are sure things. I think that we could be talking in 2 months and they're both playing less than 24 minutes a game and neither of them has a lot of fantasy value. I think that's just as likely as any other outcome. My only point is with both of the guys, if you look at all the people in the waiver wire, there aren't a lot of people that could be as good as these two could be if they get minutes. It's just a matter of if they get minutes.
Yeah, and I mean he's 17.3% owned on ESPN. I mean I think Nurkic is a great guy to pick up. I mean, like you're saying, you're taking a flyer on a guy. I mean, this is like probably the last guy on your bench, and if you don't get anything from him, then you cut him and you look for that next guy. But I mean, the potential for the blocks and the steals alone is worth the pickup.
Yeah. I never realized, like, until we, I'm glad we had this discussion. I never realized how similar he was to Nerlens Noel until like we kind of talked through it. It's kind of interesting. There's your cross-cultural, cross-racial, cross-body type. Like those, there's not any two different, more different looking guys than those two in the league, but they certainly play fantasy stat wise. They are very similar producers.
Hey man, if you can get a Nerlens Noel off the waiver wire, what we thought, especially if it's what we thought Nerlens Noel was going to be at the beginning of the year, that might be a league winner. All right, so you ready?
Yeah, and you know, if you've got an injured reserve spot, like I think your best move right now is just to pick him up before he gets that O removed off of his name and stash him on there, because then you can wait until he's productive to have to sub him into your regular lineup. You can wait and see how it goes for 2 weeks
before you decide
to pick him up or to drop him.
Totally agree with that. I mean, that's a great thing to do is just stash him on that IR, and then, I mean, you can wait and see if he's getting the minutes. And, you know, after two weeks, if he's still not getting many minutes, then it's probably not going to happen.
All right, Tyler, do you want to tell everybody about the article you wrote this week and where they can find it?
Well, first, do you want to hear the quote from Coach Budenholzer about Schroeder?
Yes. I absolutely, I'm dying to hear this quote.
Okay. Telling comment from Coach Mike Budenholzer on Schroeder.
This is probably going to make the first half of our podcast irrelevant.
Should I not say it then? Should
we make it? No, we got to give the people the good stuff here.
All right. It says, Coach Budenholzer's comment was, and I quote, "We'll continue to grow and develop the roster and continue to grow and develop Dennis."
So he didn't say anything.
So he said that.
Those are just some words to say, no comment.
I'm parsing that as saying that he did something he probably shouldn't have. And he's trying to grow and develop him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, now. I agree. You're probably right.
All right. So all right.
Tell us about the article you wrote this week.
All right. The article. Oh. Okay, never mind. The tweet thing threw me off again. All right, the article I wrote today, this week, Stats, Trends, and Rest of Season Value, number 2. It was a telling piece this week. It's all buy low candidates. So if you're a guy who likes to make trades and you want to acquire someone at below their market value, this is the article for you this week.
Well, that was a good sell, man. I particularly like the stuff you wrote up about DeMar DeRozan. Made me actually look to trade for him in a couple of my leagues. Do you want to tell everybody where they can find your article?
All right. If you go to the dailyfantasybasketballpodcast.com and you just scroll down there just a little bit, you'll see it. It'll pop up there. The big headers on there, Stats, Trends, and Rest of Season Value. You can also check my Twitter. Check my Twitter. I tweeted it out there. So that's an easier way for you to find it.
Tyler, this is the last podcast of the 2015 calendar year.
How do you feel about that, Mark? It's been a good journey, right?
Yeah. People have been awesome to want to listen to us. I have to say, I was shocked when we got so many people involved in listening and participating when Kyle and I were involved with the podcast at the beginning. And I was even more shocked that so many people stuck around and kept hanging out with us and listened to our podcast once Kyle moved over to Basketball Monster. So really it's been awesome. I can't say thank you enough to all the listeners for the support and for everyone to continue to listen to us and participate with us and tell us we're stupid on Twitter or tell us that we're smart on Twitter or just have a good discussion about fantasy basketball. You know, we try to make it fun and interesting for everybody. We know everybody that listens is pretty diehard fantasy basketball fans. So that's a good group of people to be associated with, if you ask me. And you know, hopefully we can keep it up for the next year. Hopefully we're sitting here again at the end of next year talking about fantasy basketball still. There's not much funner things to do than that, I would say.
Yeah, no doubt. And like you're saying, I mean, just the people on Twitter and people interacting with the show is awesome, and they're great. And so we can't say enough thanks to them.
Big ups to all you listeners. Thanks for hanging out here. If you do like the podcast and you haven't decided to rate and review it or hit subscribe in iTunes or Stitcher or something, maybe you should make that your New Year's resolution. That'll be an easy one to actually keep. Just takes a couple of minutes. Go in there. Helps us out a lot. I hope you all have a good New Year. Hope New Year's Eve is great. You get to kiss somebody at New Year's. And we'll look forward to talking more fantasy basketball on the flip side of the 2016 calendar.
If you got kids, take Mark's advice. He gave it. Beginning of the podcast. Rewind and listen if you have to.
That's right. Use Netflix and trick your children. All right. Hopefully you enjoy some basketball between now and the next show. We'll talk to you again soon, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year's.